Today we're building a modulated jungle air horn hit in Ableton Live 12, and the big goal is simple: make it feel alive, make it hit hard, and keep CPU use nice and light. This is one of those classic drum and bass sounds that can instantly add attitude. You know the vibe. Warning signal, rave energy, jungle nostalgia, tension before the drop. But instead of throwing a huge synth stack and a ridiculous effects chain at it, we're going to work smart. We'll build the sound from a lightweight source, shape it with a few focus devices, then print it to audio so it stops eating resources and becomes easy to arrange. First, start with a simple MIDI track and load either Waveitable or Operator. If you want the quickest route, Waveitable is great. Use a saw wave as your main source. Keep unison very low and don't overcomplicate it. One or two voices is enough. We are not building a giant super saw here. We want a focused mid-range horn tone with enough harmonic content to respond well to filtering and saturation. If you're using Operator, a sine or a saw adjacent patch can also work really well. The key idea is to keep the source lean and let the movement come from modulation, not from a heavy oscillator setup. Now shape the envelope so it behaves like a horn hit, not a pad. Set the attack very fast, basically near zero. Decay should be short to medium, depending on whether you want a straight stab or a mini riser. A good starting point is somewhere around 300 to 900 milliseconds. Keep sustain low, and use a short release so the note doesn't smear into the next bar. This is where the front edge matters. The front edge needs to punch through the breakbeat and bass. The tail can be controlled, simplified, or even removed later once it's been captured. That's a really useful mindset for this kind of sound design. Next, use the filter in the instrument to create some of the horn character. A low pass or band pass flavor works well. Start with the cutoff fairly low, then use the filter envelope to open it up quickly. That gives you the impression of a horn that is swelling and speaking, even if the actual patch stays simple. A nice starting point is to keep resonance moderate, not extreme. Just enough to add some character. If the source feels too polite, add a little drive if the instrument offers it. Again, keep it controlled. You want a punchy, musical mid-range event, not a brittle screech. Now let's add the riser motion. The easiest CPU light way to make this feel like it's climbing is with pitch movement. You can automate the pitch slightly over time, or use clip envelopes if that feels cleaner in your workflow. For a classic jungle style build, a rise of about 2 to 7 semitones over half a bar or 1 bar is a strong starting point. If you want a more staccato hit, even a small pitch push in the first 100 to 250 milliseconds can do a lot. If you want the horn to feel dramatic and alarm-like, go bigger, but be careful not to make it harsh. The movement should feel musical, not gimmicky. Here's a useful trick: duplicate the clip. Make one version static and one version rising. That way you instantly add contrast for arrangement without adding more devices or more CPU load. Very often, arrangement variation beats sound design complexity. Now insert auto filter after the instrument. This is going to be your main movement tool, and it's much lighter than building a complicated modulation setup. Use a low-pass filter, and automate the cutoff to open up over the length of the riser. Start it fairly closed, then let it breathe. For a short hit, you might move from around 500 Hz up to a few kilohertz. For a one-bar build, you can start around 800 Hz and open it much further, but stop before it gets too icy unless that bright, aggressive edge is exactly what you want. Resonance should stay controlled. A little bit of drive can help the filter feel more alive. If you want subtle motion without lots of automation, you can use a small amount of filter LFO or envelope follower movement. But keep it light. The best CPU smart sound design often comes from a few deliberate moves, not a pile of constantly running modulation. Now let's add some grit. A jungle air horn often needs a bit of edge to survive next to clip drums and heavy respace. Saturator is a great choice because it gives you precise control. Add a few dB of drive, turn soft clip on if needed, and then trim the output so you're comparing fairly. If you want something a little nastier and more genre-coded, drum bus can work too. Use it lightly. A small amount of drive and crunch can make the horn snap harder. Don't overdo the boom for this use case. We're not trying to turn the horn into a kick drum. We just want it to bite. One important placement choice: if you distort after the filter movement feeds into the distortion and can feel more animated. If you distort before the filter can tame some of the extra harmonics. Both approaches are useful. Try both and listen in context. Next, clean up the sound with EQ8 and utility. High pass the horn so it doesn't fight the sub. In many cases, somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz is a good range to clear out low-end clutter. If the sound gets painful, trim a bit in the upper mids. If it needs more air, a small shelf up top can help, but only if the source really needs it. Utility is great for keeping the stereo image under control. Don't make it too wide too early. In drum and bass, the center image matters a lot. Kick and sub need a stable home, so if the horn has width, keep the low end out of that stereo spread. Check it in mono too. A horn that sounds huge in stereo but falls apart in mono is not doing you any favors. At this point, the sound should already feel pretty usable, but now comes the most important advanced move: print it to audio. Resample the result. Create a new audio track, set the input to resampling, arm it, and record your horn performance. Capture a few versions if you can: a short hit, a rising hit, and maybe one with a little extra echo or a tail. Once it's recorded, consolidate the best clips and keep them as audio. This is the move that keeps live light. The CPU-heavy instrument chain doesn't need to keep running across the whole arrangement. You've committed the sound, and now it's easy to edit, trim, reverse, fade, and place exactly where you want it. And honestly, this is a great general lesson in sound design. Commit early, automate late. Design the tone, print it, then do your arrangement movement on the audio clip. It makes everything easier to manage, and it often sounds more intentional. Now think about what the horn actually does in the track. It should be structural, not just decorative. In drum and bass, this kind of sound can act like a phrase delimiter, a warning, or a drop cue. For example, you might use it as a one-bar pre-drop riser, leading into a full drum re-entry, or place it as a call-and-response moment at the end of a four-bar phrase, or use it as a short DJ intro tag every 8 or 16 bars. The sound works best when it helps the arrangement speak. A very effective DNB setup is this: filter drums and bass are running, then the horn begins on the last beat of the bar, rises, hits hard on the next downbeat, and the drums slam back in immediately after. That tiny moment of tension makes the re-entry feel much bigger. You can also use echo on a send or insert for a single tempo-locked repeat. Keep the reverb short and dark if you use it at all. In this genre, long tails can blur the drop entrance and muddy the groove. A quick repeat or a restrained space effect usually works better than a huge wash. Now automate the final details instead of adding more devices. Small changes often beat extra processing. Automate the filter cutoff. Automate the saturator drive if needed. Automate utility width so the sound stays focused until the last moment, then opens up. Automate clip gain if you want the final hit to feel like it jumps forward a little more. One really useful trick is to create a slight level rise during the last half of the build, maybe 1 to 3 dB, and then snap the filter open right before the hit. You can also create a tiny silence just before the drop. That little vacuum effect makes the horn and the drop feel connected, and it's a classic tension move in darker DNB. If you want a heavier jungle or roller character, don't just make it brighter. Sometimes darkening the horn actually makes it feel louder and more dangerous. A controlled upper mid horn often cuts through better than a piercing one. A few common mistakes to avoid here: don't make it too wide too early. Don't overdo the reverb. Don't leave low end in the horn if it's going to compete with the sub. And don't rely on just one static horn hit. Make a short version, a rising version, and an echoed version. That gives you real arrangement flexibility. Here's a great mini practice challenge: build 3 printed horn variations for 1 8-bar DNB loop. Make 1 short hit with no rise. Make 1 with a 1-bar pitch and filter rise. Make 1 with an echo tail. Print all 3 to audio, high pass them, clean up any harshness, and place them across the arrangement. Then compare which one creates the most tension without cluttering the drums and bass. If you want to push it further, try a few advanced variations. Start one version narrow and mid-focused, then open it only near the end. That gives you a pre-announce and reveal effect. Or duplicate the printed horn at different octaves, very quietly, to add thickness without running a huge synth patch. Or make one phrase end with a hard cut, and the next with a short fade or echo throw, so repeated motifs don't feel copy-pasted. The overall takeaway is this: keep the source simple, use modulation with intention, print the sound once it works, and let automation and arrangement do the rest. In drum and bass, the best horn hits are not just loud. They are controlled, rhythmic, and mix-aware. They punch through, they tell a story, and they make the drop feel bigger without wrecking your CPU. So build it lean, print it smart, and make that jungle horn speak.